In this episode, we cover stories of different forms of physical and sexual abuse. This may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you love is experiencing such abuse, please call 800-799-SAFE. That's 800-799-7233.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's online, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks, it's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Welcome to Binging with Benefits. Welcome to Welcome to Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's. Welcome. Some ice cream.
Have some ice cream. I want ice cream. Ooh. Welcome to Binging with Benefits. I'm Jess.
I'm Becca.
And we're two sisters who sit here and like to talk and do podcasts.
I guess. It's all new. So I don't know. Bear with us.
Yes, please. Please bear with us as we are trying to figure this out and how to be good at the thing with the microphone in front of our faces. But yeah, here. So what's new in your world? Like, I haven't seen you all day today.
I know, literally.
It was 5 hours I didn't see you. Yeah.
Well, for everyone listening, Jessica showed me some new machines at the gym, and I'm so excited because now I can use them and not look like an idiot.
I kept trying to tell her, like, I don't know. I'm sure people can relate to this, of like trying to use new machines at the gym. It's so intimidating just because you don't want to look dumb. You don't want to look like, I don't know how to use this thing. But, you know, everyone there has had that moment of using a machine for the first time. So it's just getting over the anxiety of,
yeah, exactly, you
know, like I still have that feeling of like getting on machines I know how to use, and even though I'm like trying to adjust seats and stuff, I'm like, oh, I have to adjust my seat, I thought I adjusted this, but no one cares.
Literally no one cares. Like,
no one's watching you.
Like, when I'm on the treadmill, I'm focused on my phone because I've got Severance on it, and I honestly, that is like, I don't pay attention to other people, so why do I think that people are looking at me? Like, it's just,
I know, if anything, I'm spending most of my time trying to avoid looking at other people. Yeah. At the gym.
Oh, for sure.
But maybe that's just us in the female experience. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe guys are staring at us.
Yeah, you know,
which
what?
I still don't care.
I mean, please stare at me. If you're looking at me looking like a gremlin at the gym, then power to you, sir. I've been really into cooking the last few nights.
That's true. She's cooked dinner like every single night.
It's not been anything amazing. It's just been
no,
like,
stop. It has been. Are you kidding? She made fancy French toast with challah bread tonight.
With homemade challah bread.
She made the challah bread, you guys.
It was from the freezer, though. I didn't make it all today. There was no way I could have done that.
Oh, yeah. But still, made the challah bread.
That's true.
And then she made the French toast.
That's true.
And then she made potatoes and eggs and bacon. And like,
we had breakfast for dinner.
Amazing.
It's the best thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you say? Oh, I have an obsession with potatoes.
Yes.
And every time everyone asks me, like, oh, what's your favorite potato? I usually say twice baked potato. So then Becca at the dinner table was like, you know what I'm thinking? French toast is just twice baked bread.
It is.
I'm like, wait, do I just love twice baked things? Because French toast is the best breakfast food.
That, honestly, yeah. Like, I'm tempted to say waffles are number one for me.
And you then do eat waffles toast a lot more than French toast.
I love a good light crispy waffle.
Like the waffles at the hotels.
Oh,
I went and did an Amazon search and found that waffle batter. Yeah, well, get thanks. You a light crispy waffle.
Oh, so good. But they're not in the shape of Texas, and so I'm going to sue.
There's so many inside things we're letting out of here.
Like, I know.
We went to a hotel in Austin, Texas, and the hotel had Texas shaped waffle maker, and now we're just like, well, Texas waffles are the best.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now you guys are in on
the joke. You're in on the little joke of
Texas sized waffles.
Heck yeah.
And then the Texas sized and shaped waffles.
Yes.
And in the morning, I'm making waffles.
I'm there.
For sure. I am really looking forward to listening to her tell me about this thing.
Yes.
So let's get into the binging, baby.
Let's do it. So, disclaimer, it talks about kidnapping, sexual assault, just kind of heavy topics. So if that is triggering to you, maybe skip this episode.
Yes. No shame.
Yeah, no shame at all. But anyway, so it's called Into the Fire, The Lost Daughter.
Ooh, I'm excited because I've had this on my watch list. So I'm really excited for you to tell me about it. And this is a docu-series?
Yes, there's two episodes. Okay. They're about an hour each. We open with this amazing woman named Kathy.
Kathy. We love Kathy.
We love Kathy.
Okay.
She's telling us about her daughter who was murdered.
And we know that from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. She says the murder was not unsolved. It was uninvestigated.
Oh, great distinction, Kathy.
Yes. Kathy's a queen.
So not unsolved, just uninvestigated.
Uninvestigated.
Period.
And this is all in the beginning, like before we know anything. She says, you can't run on anything else. You can run on anger. It doesn't need to be fed. It doesn't need to sleep. It might kill you. But if you want to get something done, get good and angry.
I mean, if that's not
right,
so true.
Like, I have chills.
Like, you can run on anger. Yes. That is probably the most sustainable fuel emotion.
It doesn't need to sleep. It doesn't need to be fed. Like,
you can just be angry.
You can just be angry and get crap done. That is this woman. Like, she is everything I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is a force. She meets Ed.
Okay.
Back when they're like 20s.
Okay.
Ed meets Kathy in a bar.
Mm-hmm. Every great love story.
Yes. They never exchanged information. So they just were like, okay, you know, cool conversation. We'll see you maybe. And they thought that was it. You know, like they were just like, okay, well, you know, cool. Bye. 3 days later, they cross paths again.
Oh.
And this is what they said. They never separated since.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So like they just like spent every single day together, ended up moving in together, just never separated.
Wow. Wait. Yeah. And they still are together to this day?
Yeah.
Well, if that isn't something that's going to feed my freaking relationship to Lulu.
Really? Like, Kathy did it.
I can do it. Yes. Anxious attachment. What?
Yes. Who? Anyway, so she's amazing. So she and Ed, they pack up their lives into a camper with their dog. They go from New Orleans to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. They get married 10 weeks after they met.
Well, okay, I was going to ask, like, what is the time span?
Yeah. So 10 weeks after they met, they get married.
And they're still together?
For 32 years.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
I know. So they've been married for a month at this point.
Okay.
She mentions that she had given a child up for adoption.
Okay.
Kathy was 16. This was in 1974. Her mom ultimately convinced her to give her baby up because she said, you know, there's diapers. You're going to have to teach her how to feed herself, how to walk. This child deserves a better chance. Mm-hmm. So they go through the adoption system in North Virginia.
Okay.
The baby is 9 months old and it's a closed adoption.
So she gives the baby up after 9 months.
9 months.
Oh my gosh. That's so heart wrenching. That's got to be really hard.
Yeah. Essentially, she has to wait until the baby's 18 before she can any kind of communication or whatever. So she's just kind of waiting that out to see what happens. So in 2010, Kathy gets a letter from an agency. So the baby would be 35 at this point. And she gets a letter from an agency thinking that this might be her daughter trying to find her.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a letter that says she went missing 21 years ago.
Wait, why are they reaching out after 21 years of her missing? Are they hoping that... I have so many questions.
No, seriously.
What?
Yes.
They're like, hey, FYI.
Yeah.
An entire lifetime ago, your daughter went missing.
Yeah, at 14. But they reach out to her because they're like, we found an unidentified Jane Doe in a cornfield.
Oh my God.
Like the symmetry of the face kind of matches her daughter. You know, so they're like, we need some DNA to identify if this is her.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, of course, she, you know, sends DNA immediately.
Yeah.
It takes 3 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? How does Maury get a freaking paternity test done in how many months?
In like 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, you are the father, but 3 years to find out if this DNA matches.
Yes. 3 years. So she gets in touch with the police, the adoption agency, and she's like, I'm going to do my own research. But they won't give her her adopted name.
Why?
Because it's a closed adoption.
But even after 18?
I guess.
Oh my gosh.
So obviously all she had that she knew for sure was her birthday. So Ed looked online to search missing child with that birthday. Not even 10 minutes, he finds her.
Wow.
June 23rd, 1974, Michigan State website. Kathy had named her Alexis Miranda Badger.
Okay.
Her new name is Andrea Michelle Bowman.
Andrea Michelle Bowman. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Andrea lived in Hamilton, Michigan.
Okay.
So she made a Facebook group called Find Andrea M. Bowman Page.
Okay.
So kids, obviously, kids. Youths. people now, obviously, in their 30s.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, they're FBI agents, obviously.
Yeah.
Kathy says, if you knew her post on the page of I'd love to hear stories, like maybe you know something. The messages start flooding in.
Really?
Yes. So it was like she was in my band class. I rode the bus with her. I wonder what happened to her. Like, we never found out. Okay. So Sue Angweiler is Andrea's aunt.
Okay.
From her adopted parents.
Okay.
So Sue finds this page and immediately contacts Kathy. She says she was adopted by Brenda and Dennis Bowman.
Okay.
Brenda and Dennis are the adopted parents. They met in high school.
Okay.
Dennis was in the Navy when she graduated. And Dennis said, when I get back, will you accept my ring?
Mm-hmm.
So they were married in 71, stationed in South Dakota, or maybe San Diego. I wrote down SD.
I'm going to say South Dakota because that seems, well, actually, no, San Diego. Was he Navy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so maybe it was San Diego.
The Navy had given him a choice of his next place. Virginia. They picked Virginia. So they tried to start a family. Chances of Brenda getting pregnant was really slim.
Yeah.
It took them many years to realize that maybe they should just, you know, look just into adoption. So one day the social worker calls them and says, we have a baby for you. So Andrea was daddy's girl. Like, she was just so sweet. Everyone was, they were like, this girl is a gift from God to these parents who, you know, couldn't have kids on their own. And they moved to Hamilton.
Hamilton, Virginia.
Hamilton, Virginia. So it's a very, very safe area. There's one grocery store, like very small town. So Brenda and Dennis both are Sunday school teachers at their local church.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, she felt sick for days. Andrea is 13 at this point.
Okay.
So anyway, she comes back and finds out that she is, in fact, pregnant.
Wow. Okay, so Andrea's 13. They find out she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. That's how it always happens, it seems.
I know. Andrea's ecstatic when she has her little sister, Vanessa, in the year 89. She's just like the type of girl who goes over to, you know, a friend's house and they play. Girls just want to have fun and they just dance around the room. Like, you know, they just love to have fun. The music, Madonna, like the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
Andrea is the type of person who would go out of her way to make people happy. And they called her the chameleon. Because she would just kind of fit in with everybody.
Wait, when was she born? June?
June 23rd. She's a Cancer.
She's a Cancer. I was like, oh, she's Gemini.
She did not do good in school. She would talk back to her teachers. You know, like she was just very feisty. Dennis says that when she was 12 or 13, it's like somebody flipped a switch.
Oh.
She ran away from home.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So Kathy's got anger, but so does dear Andrea.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So Brenda left for work and he's got the baby.
He has the baby.
Yeah. So when he gets home and he notices the primary room,
mm-hmm.
the door's open, which apparently it's always closed and locked, which.
Interesting. I want to do a deep dive on that at some point, but whatever.
But it was busted open.
Oh.
Something that was taken, overnight bags in their closet was missing. Cash that they had around $100 was missing.
Okay.
Andrea's purple coat was missing.
Okay.
So he called the police. He's like, my kid's missing.
Yeah.
They took a report and they left.
That's it?
Pretty much.
They're like, okay.
They're like, cool, thanks, bye. I mean, like, it's ridiculous.
It seems strange. Like, and this is within the first 24 hours of a minor going missing.
Right.
And the police are like, we got it down on our little notepad.
Yep.
Peace.
Yeah. There are no leads. There is no evidence to follow. Okay. Kathy, the birth mom, when she had Alexis Andrea, she had run away.
Okay, so she was a runaway herself.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. So definitely like mother, like daughter.
Yes. Okay. She knew that the police absolutely biffed the whole investigation in the 80s. So she was like, I'm gonna figure this out. Like, I'm not taking, we don't know as an answer.
Yeah, we have no idea. Like, no leads, no nothing.
Right. So she found a web sleuth, and his name is Carl.
Okay.
and Carl joined a website called Web Sleuths Unsolved Mysteries. Oh, so it's like Unsolved Mysteries, Unidentified Jane Doe, John Doe Cases. These are just amateur people who are like, I'm an FBI agent.
Stop. Are you serious?
So Carl was actually the catalyst that kind of forced Kathy to be like, we're going to find her. This is not a happy episode.
Lo siento, my friends.
I'm wondering if we should even do this.
No, of course we should do this.
Okay, okay. So Carl starts to filter through his sheet. Mm-hmm. So he filters down to every little detail that he has, and he finds 13 cases on the list that match this description.
Oh, so there's 12 other missing girls that could match
right
this Jane Doe.
Yeah.
13 girls missing same around the same time, same age. Okay, and Andrea is one of these 13 cases.
Possibly.
Okay.
After 3 years, she gets the result from the agency, and it is not a match.
What?
It is not her.
What?
Yes, it's not Andrea.
My flabber is gasted.
Yeah, no, literally?
Are you kidding?
No.
So it's one of these other 12 cases?
Could be, yeah. So there's this guy, Chris Haverdink.
What is the prince's name from Humperdink?
From what?
From Princess Bride.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Humperdink. That's funny. Okay, wait, is Chris a good guy or a bad guy?
Chris is a good guy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm in front of your name.
So Chris is co-sheriff. He works at the sheriff's office.
He's a co-sheriff.
Because my notes are terrible.
You know what? I don't know how that stuff works.
But he's a co-sheriff, okay? Okay. I don't know. He works at the sheriff's office. He's a good guy.
County sheriff?
Maybe that's it. I just wrote CO sheriff, sheriff's office. So county sheriff's office. Okay. So Chris went to high school with Andrea.
Oh, okay.
And he remembers her.
Okay.
Chris was determined to solve this cold case. Mm-hmm. So he formed a committee.
Love it. So he's not even doing this as an official sheriff. Right. He's doing this because he just is.
Yeah. He's like, I remember this girl. What happened to her?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So they reached out to Kathy and they said, hey, we're looking for your daughter 20 years later. You know, like, let's. So in this Facebook group that Kathy made to find
Andrea,
this girl, Meta McCold.
Her name is Meta?
Mm-hmm, also a queen.
Yeah.
She reaches out to Kathy in 2013. We've got Chris, who's the sheriff guy. And then there's the Carl, the sleuth with the spreadsheets. And now we have Meta, who's reached out to Kathy and said, I was abducted.
Whoa.
When I was 6.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
And she goes, I can't help but think it's connected to your daughter. For this 6-year-old Meta, she was on her way to a friend's house. And I guess this person in a red pickup truck pulled over and said, your mom said I could take you to see some puppies. And then she got close enough that he just grabbed her.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Ah!
I know. I
hate, why do people like this exist in the world?
No, literally. Go to another planet. But he's just driving, you know. For what we find out later is maybe like 20 minutes.
Okay.
But for a 6-year-old, obviously that's like forever.
Yeah.
This is where maybe I'll skip a few things. Because essentially this guy was very nice at first.
Oh.
But then he was not.
Yeah.
And I do need to mention one specific thing because this does come up later.
Okay.
But he got some rope out and took her into the woods.
Oh God.
But dogs started barking.
Okay.
And so he thought there's dogs, there's going to be people.
Yeah.
So he just leaves.
He just leaves her in the woods, ties up.
Mm-hmm. So it was a campground area is where they went. She goes to the road. You know, a woman comes and calls the police.
Yeah.
She gave a description of the man and the car, and he was never caught.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And this is in the same small town.
Yes.
Freaking, why do people live in these small towns? Yes, they're quote unquote safe.
Right.
But are they safe because these things don't actually get solved and so none of it gets reported? Or like,
no, really? Wait, yeah.
Like, that is, first of all, if you live in a small town, please leave. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm so angry.
There are happy endings, I will say.
Okay.
So she just, for the rest of her life, was like, I'm still looking for this guy.
For this man in the red truck.
Yes. Because she's like, I remember his face. I remember his voice. Like, I remember
everything. I'm sure that's like burned into her memory.
Yeah, that is, you do not forget.
Unfortunately, a very unfortunate core memory for her. Yeah. Oh, I want to say the F word so bad. So angry.
Now it's 2013, of course.
Okay. Meadow, and that was when she was 6, and now she's like 35-ish.
Yeah. Okay. So that happened the same year that Andrea was reported missing. Okay. And the similarities with the case are pretty insane.
What are the similarities here?
Meta is doing her own research. She finds Andrea's stuff. Mm-hmm. She sees a picture of Andrea's adopted family. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's the guy.
What?
That's the guy.
Dennis?
Dennis.
What is their car?
It's a red pickup truck.
Stop it.
Yes.
Are you so for real right now?
I am 100% for real.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So she sees, oh my gosh. And she says, that's the guy.
Yep. So she meets up with Carl and Kathy.
Okay.
Carl the sleuth and Kathy the bio mom. Uh-huh. Instantly, Meta and Kathy are like synced. Like they are just like soul sisters. Like they are just... like their friendship is just instant.
I love that.
So Meta recalls that he smelled like metal. He was dirty. And she remembers like a painty
smell.
Smell.
Okay.
About him. Dennis was a carpenter. Dennis worked at Makatoa Harbor, not even 10 minutes from the abduction site. And the route that he took when he goes home is where...
the route that Meta would walk?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And it's close to his house, close to the campground. Meta is like, I know that's the guy. We need to find out if he ever owned a red pickup truck.
Yeah.
So they obviously get in contact with Sue and they send a picture of the truck that Dennis owned. And Meta said that is the exact truck. Like the dings, the paint chips, everything is like matching.
Oh.
Everything she remembers. Yeah. Meta heard Dennis's voice from police reports and she's like, that's there, undeniably that is him. Sue is on Kathy's side.
Like, she's just like, there's something off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, we know that. So this is Kathy and she's speaking metaphorically. Mm-hmm. She says, there's a house on fire. I could walk right up past it and ignore the screams for her, or I can walk straight into the fire and let it burn me. I won't be out of it until I walk the whole way through.
Oh my gosh.
So
she's like, I'm in it. I'm doing this.
Yeah. She's like, we're going full force. So Kathy flies to Michigan with Ed. She meets Carl several times over the next 10 years. They're meeting up with people who were like, oh, I knew her. Mm-hmm. You know, I was friends with her, blah, blah, blah. And she meets up with Sue. Sue remembers Andrea sitting in her house, kind of like on the floor, mm-hmm. and Brenda saying, you want to hear what the kid did today?
Talking about Andrea?
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah. So Sue's like, this is your child. Why are you talking about your child like that? So then we start to meet some of Andrea's friends, Michelle, Jennifer, and Kim. Kim went to Alexis's house. This is just a memory that she has. Andrea said, like, don't come in. Like, I'll just grab what I need and then I'll be out. She opens the door and Dennis is immediately cursing, yelling, grabbing her.
What?
Like, dragging her up the stairs. It eventually just ended with the dad being like, you need to go home
to this girl.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
This girl is like telling her parents, like, what did I just see?
Yeah.
Nothing's done, essentially. Michelle, another friend, was over at Andrea's house. The parents ate burgers for dinner. And they got what's called a leftover sandwich, which is essentially everything but the meat.
Okay. So these aren't good people.
No.
Ew. Ew. What?
Mm-hmm. Andrea said that's all she's allowed to eat.
Okay.
That is what she said.
Using the word allowed.
So Dennis came over and hit her so hard she almost fell out of the chair. Jennifer, another friend, had Andrea over at her house and she ended up staying for 4 days because she told Jennifer what was going on at her house. Mm. She told her that her dad abuses her, sexually assaults her.
Oh my gosh.
Andrea went to the principal to tell her dad.
Yeah.
The principal called the parents and then asked them to all sit in a room, all four of them. The principal says, okay, tell them what you just told me.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I wish I was. So, of course, Andrea's like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. She's like, are you kidding me? I came to somebody who I trusted.
And Andrea tells Brenda, you know, dad molests me. And Brenda said, that's a lie.
hate these people so much.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So the kids at school, all of her friends, they would sneak her food. They would protect her. And friends told Andrea, like, just leave. Like, yeah. just run away. Come to our house even, you know. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I don't want to leave my little sister Vanessa there.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about Vanessa.
No. She talked about running away with Vanessa to go find her birth mom. So that was one of the things that she was telling people. I'm going to do that.
Oh my gosh, this is making me want to cry.
I'm telling you, I don't know if we should do this.
No, keep going.
So Sue calls the police.
Oh, Sue is on our side.
Oh yeah.
Sue is like, y'all are shady.
Big time. And she says, look into Dennis Bowman.
She tells them flat out. Yeah. So this is years after she's gone missing.
Yes. Yes. So there's something called the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, you like pay.
Yeah, so you can pay some money and then you get whatever records you get any you're looking information. For. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did this for Dennis Bowman.
Okay,
this
so this
whole
they,
team of people. So what they find,
rap sheet a mile long.
So anyway, he's got things like stalking, breaking, entering.
He has stalking charges?
Yes.
How did this agency let them adopt this child?
Literally, because it was before they adopted Andrea.
They don't do background checks?
Apparently not. No, the whole thing pisses me off.
Everybody needs to get their act together.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
So for stalking and breaking and entering, he served a year.
Y'all, do your research. Do not trust a person unless you are doing your own web sleuthing. Especially as an agency that's just placing children. Sorry, I'm angry.
There's also another thing on the report that is very interesting.
Okay.
It says that he attacked a teenager on a bike.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. He said, run to the woods. And this girl was like, no. And then he pulled out a gun and said, run to the woods. Thankfully, somebody was driving by. She flagged him down, so she was able to escape. The judge says, quote, he is a danger to women. It is.
Why is he on the street?
No, literally.
Why do we have judges saying this crap and he is still on the street and they give a child.
Yes. Voluntarily to this family.
I want to talk to that caseworker.
Yeah. So the quote is, he is a danger to women if he is not incarcerated.
Oh my God.
He did serve time. Actually, he served 5 to 10 years. He was sentenced 5 to 10 years for that. Andrea was 6 years old visiting her dad in prison.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
This reminds me of, for no real reason, It Takes Two, the parents that they allow to adopt.
Oh.
And they're just like
the Butkus family.
The Butkus family.
Yes.
And they're just garbage human beings that lie their way through the adoption process, and then they have all these kids.
They just collect kids.
They collect kids. And like, granted, he's just making Alyssa Calloway work in a junkyard, but this Dennis man is a true monster.
Yes.
During all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Brenda's standing, you know.
And yeah, Brenda's still by his side. He was released in 86, and okay. Andrea's 11 at this point. So back to 2013, Kathy attends a missing persons support group in Michigan. And in one of her many trips to Michigan, she goes to this missing persons support group. She sits down and she sees Brenda.
What?
Mm-hmm. So Kathy jumped up and said, you get up and tell these people who your husband is.
Oh,
they got into a little bit of a physical altercation.
Oh, a little bit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And Carl essentially had to pull her off of Brenda. That's pissing me off.
Oh, so angry.
In this meeting, apparently you can light a candle for your loved one. So Brenda lit a candle.
Snuff that candle out, you lady.
Mm-hmm. And said, who's the better mom? She won't do this for her.
I'm sorry. Brenda, sit your ass down.
No, literally.
Ew.
People in the community, when they first saw a missing poster or flyer, it was because it was Kathy's. She put that out. There were never any flyers or posters or anything.
When Brenda was the only mom who cared.
Right. Andrea goes missing. The Bowman family decides to move.
What?
Yes.
How soon after?
Like, maybe 6 months?
They just say like, oh, peace.
Yeah.
She's left mm-hmm. in case she comes back, because we love her and care about her so much.
Right. She's a better mom.
Know where to find us.
Right. They do move within the same city, we'll say. Okay. But still, we hate this.
No, we hate this. We hate the Bowmans.
Kathy and Carl are scouting outside the house. And it's so funny because this just goes to tell you Kathy is just like the best.
We love Kathy.
So she's standing outside of their house mm-hmm. and she's yelling at them, just harassing them, you know? Mm. And they get a drone.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No. They get a drone and they fly.
I'm like partly Slay Queen, but also partly like, you're gonna get in so much trouble.
But you know what? She never does, so it's awesome.
I mean, the police, we know they don't do their jobs.
They don't do their job. They do not do nothing. So they get a drone.
And they fly it over the backyard.
And they fly it over their house and the backyard. And then Kathy says, well, if anybody comes by and sees what we're doing, we'll just, you know, Carl said that he'll just get on one knee and propose to me, and that's what we're doing. You know?
Shut up. That's yes. hilarious.
That's why there's a drone. That's why we're here.
There's a drone in front of this random house.
Yeah.
He's proposing in front of this house.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Oh, like, I freaking love her. So, yeah, they have binoculars.
What? Okay.
And drones.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit not on Kathy's side with this. That seems insane to me.
Yeah.
But like,
she's really
dying. I know. I'm wanting to be on her side, but like binoculars into someone's home. Yeah. Okay, anyway, sorry, keep going.
So anyway, they go home and they look at the footage of the drone, and she just like has this gut feeling that Andrea is buried in the backyard.
In this new house.
In the new house. They go to Google
Earth images or maps.
Yeah, and so they're going through the years just to see if there's any changes. So in 2011 there's a shed in the backyard mm-hmm. but now there's a spot in the dirt that keeps changing over time. So this plot of dirt that used mm-hmm. to have a shed mm-hmm. keeps changing sizes over the years. It's not a garden, but it's just like obviously someone's been digging or something in this little square area.
They're just constantly digging in this area?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it always looks different, but it's always this dirt. One little square. Yeah. Okay. In the center, like the randomest part of the backyard.
Okay.
Their house is next to the woods.
Oh, great. Convenient for Mr. Dennis.
Yeah. So she tells the police, like, go get a warrant and dig in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it's not really that simple.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of evidence.
Yeah. So she gets a billboard that reads, unsolved missing person. It has pictures of Andrea, and it is on the road that Dennis takes to work.
Love it.
Yes.
That I approve yes. of.
Kathy would call and send letters and voicemails and harass him online. She was not letting up.
That I don't love. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sue said about Kathy that she is a pit bull with lipstick.
Yep. Yep, I could see that.
So Kathy gets a call from Meta, and Meta says they got him.
They got Dennis. What?
Yeah.
Keep going.
So he's under arrest for killing a Virginia pilot's wife.
What?
In 1980.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did? Oh my gosh. How did they get him on this?
This is where it gets very interesting.
This is where it gets interesting. Okay, great.
So he's indicted for murder and rape of this Kathleen is her name. Mm. Kathleen was 25.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Kathleen Doyle is her name.
Kathleen Doyle.
So Kathleen was super, super close with her aunt, Christine, who was only 7 years older than Kathleen was. Okay. But they grew up as sisters, essentially. Like, they were just really great friends. Kathleen was married to this pilot mm-hmm. December of 1979. September 9th of 1980. Kathleen has her friend Vivian over. They have, like, glass of wine. They're just, you know, hanging out, chilling, whatever. Vivian leaves at 9:30.
Okay.
The next morning, she doesn't hear from Kathleen, and that's pretty unusual, I guess.
Okay.
Vivian grabs her husband, and they go over.
Vivian and her husband go to Kathleen's house?
Yes. So they just go over to check on her. When they get there, the front door is open.
Mm-hmm.
The glasses that they drank out of are still on the table.
Wow. Okay.
And then they go into Kathleen's bedroom, and she is deceased on the floor.
So not long after Vivian left is what we're assuming.
Yeah. The room was torn up. Oh. Like, there was definitely a fight.
Yeah.
They call the police. The dispatcher couldn't hear them, but they could hear the dispatcher. So when the police finally arrive, they're, you know, doing their searches, they find that the mouthpiece had been removed from the phone. So like the mouthpiece, he had taken the cover off and then like taken out the mechanism for speaking and then put the cover back on. So it looked normal.
What? Yeah. So if she called for help, she couldn't actually call.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
How does that mean he was in the house before? Like he had premeditated all of this?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
It just pisses me off. This case ran cold for 40 years.
40.
40. So the only evidence that they had after this assault was seminal fluid from the rape kit. They were able to get. Like they collected the DNA, but they couldn't find a match. So 40 years later, you know, they're 23andMe.
Shut up. Really?
Mm-hmm. And forensic help, there were 31 potential matches.
Wow.
So they have all these people. I mean, they're like all over the East Coast.
Yeah.
31st name was Dennis. So
they went down the list.
So they go down the list and they go to each person like, hey,
where were you?
We need a mouth swab. Like they're doing this DNA testing of all these different guys. There is something called a cold case conference.
Okay.
For police to go to.
Oh, interesting.
I swap information. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So this Virginia cop meets the Minnesota cop named Brian Fuller.
Brian Fuller.
And Brian knows Dennis and his family. The police officer from Virginia is like, yeah, we have this case. It's so crazy. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's been 40 years. You know, do you know any of these names? Like just by chance.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I know Dennis.
Oh.
And he goes, that's probably your guy.
Shut up. Come on.
Even when the crime happened in 1980, they had already moved to Michigan. They just have to prove, essentially, that Dennis was in Virginia on September 9th.
Okay.
And then that's all the information they need.
Okay.
He was on a two-week Navy camp in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. So he was there for the Navy, serving good old Uncle Sam, and he thought he's going to serve good old Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Disgustamundo. Yep. I hate him.
Yes. No, so much hate. So much hate for this person.
So much hatred.
Kathy, she had harassed the Bowman family so much.
Yeah.
That they went to the police office.
I wondered when that was going to happen. I'm honestly shocked it took that long.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, you know, sit down. Here's some water. Like, let's just talk it over. They take all the information. The Bowmans leave. And they're like, haha, we have your DNA on the cup. Mm-hmm. Yes. We love a sneaky justice.
Oh, we love sneaky justice.
And guess what?
Tell me what.
It is a 100% match. Stop. To Dennis.
Get that. Jerk. Get that shoe licker.
Yeah, no, literally. So they arrest Dennis. They're obviously asking him questions. He's just like, no, it wasn't me. This cop just goes in and introduces himself. Like, he doesn't say, hey, I'm detective, whatever. He just, hey, I'm Joe. I just want to have a few words with you. And he just lets Dennis talk for hours about nothing, about anything he wants. I mean, we're talking like 5-6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like a long time.
But slow clap for Joe.
No, literally a king. Dennis finally opens up about the case the night of the murder.
He's telling Joe this? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, this man has listened to me for 5-6 hours. I can definitely tell him all of my deepest, darkest secrets.
Right. So he says, I got drunk.
Mm-mm.
I saw a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked for loose change.
Bull. Where did you look for that loose change?
Yeah.
Where?
He tackled Kathleen with a knife.
Oh, I'm just here for loose change, but I happen to have a knife.
Right. Kathleen ends up with the knife and she ends up stabbing him.
Oh, way to fight back, girl.
Mm-hmm. He claims a demon took over him.
Demon Dennis. I hate him.
I hate him so much. So they give him a pen and paper and they go, okay, well, you know, describe.
Draw the demon.
No.
Yep. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I love this.
Yeah. As he's drawing this demon, it's just like a blob of ink, yeah, essentially. Yeah. But as he's drawing this demon, his demeanor completely changes. Joe, the guy, described him as possessed.
Oh my gosh. So he went into this demonic state while he was drawing the demon.
Yes. Dennis says he only stabbed Kathleen once.
And then the demon did the other 50 times? Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Kathleen stabbed him multiple times.
Way to go, Kathleen.
So they go, okay, Dennis, we'll make you a deal. It was like, if you tell us
everything,
then we won't put you in the Virginia prison. We'll put you in the Michigan prison because that's closest to his family.
Yeah.
They finally get a warrant to search this house of the Bowmans. Uh-huh. They find nothing.
No.
This is Dennis's true confession of what actually happened that night Andrea went missing.
That Andrea went missing? Mm-hmm. Wait, so he's not only confessing. Mm-hmm. So they said, you tell us everything ever and mm-hmm. we'll move you to Michigan and not Virginia.
Yeah.
It wasn't just what had to do with Kathleen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So he's going to admit. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He says he laid the baby on the couch. Mm-hmm. Andrea was coming out of their bedroom and was going to run away. They fought and she said, I'll tell everyone you molested me. Mm-hmm. And she, quote unquote, fell down the stairs.
My gosh, this is what he says happened.
Yes, but we do know that she broke her neck, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh, the poor baby.
No, seriously, I know. I just want to like hug this girl so bad.
Oh my god.
So he obviously knew that he would go to prison.
Yeah, duh, because he's got such a great track record.
Right. He says he hid her body in a barn for a few days. It's just despicable.
This man.
And he says he put her out for the trash to pick up.
No.
Yeah. He had burned the bag and the jacket she had, quote unquote, taken. And in fact, it was still burning when the police came.
No. Where was he burning this? In the backyard?
In the backyard somewhere. This is at their old house.
So he, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So he put, oh my gosh. Okay.
So he's in prison. In December of 2019, he writes a letter to Brenda that contradicts his confession.
Of course it does.
So now he's saying he didn't throw her away.
What did he do?
He wrapped her in a white sheet, wrapped her hands and feet in red ribbon because that was her favorite color.
Shut the front door right
like
now.
Like you care at all, Dennis. Like you freaking care.
He's telling this to Brenda.
Yeah. And then he says he gave her a proper burial.
Donde?
So the police are like,
okay.
Hi, we read those letters.
Yeah. Hi, you're stupid.
He kept giving them false locations.
Of course he did.
Because it meant that he could get out of his cell. And he knew that he could convince them to go, hey, go get me Chick-fil-A, I'll tell you.
Stop.
Yeah.
Ew. Why?
Yeah. Finally, Dennis confesses he buried her in the backyard.
Oh, hilarious. What did Kathy say this whole time?
Yeah.
Backyard of Michigan house or Virginia house?
Michigan.
They moved with her. Mm-hmm. What did Brenda think? She knew that they moved the body?
I have a really strong feeling. I think she.
There's no way she didn't know.
There's no way. There's no way. First of all, he has a rap sheet like that.
And then they're just randomly moving a body size. Oh my gosh.
Terrible. Terrible.
6 months.
Yeah.
Like 6 months after she goes missing, they move.
Yeah. Yeah. So they move. He digs her up and puts her in that exact spot that Kathy said.
Of course. The mama's intuition.
No, literally. Mm-hmm. So they, of course, have a warrant for this new house to go dig.
Yeah.
So they get a bulldozer. And they finally find the spot where she is buried.
My whole body just relaxed. Like, I know. We finally found her.
I know. So they found her remains. Brenda is still in denial.
Of what? They literally have the evidence, babe. Becca, I'm so angry. If you could only see the way that I'm sitting here staring at Becca right now.
I'm
giving her a very specific stare.
So when they dig her up, they find trash bags. There's also a candy wrapper in the trash, and it's marked 1989. They did a DNA sample with Kathy's DNA. It is 100% match. That is Andrea Alexis.
I'm so glad they found her.
Yeah.
Screw Brenda and Dennis. Where's Vanessa? I'm sorry.
No, Vanessa is totally convinced that Dennis is innocent.
Shut up. Yeah. Because she's got mommy there. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, we have like police video in this documentary of like Vanessa being like, yeah, it's all a lie.
My heart hurts for Vanessa.
I know, because she just doesn't even know any better.
No, she doesn't know any better.
Like, I'm sorry, but your dad is a serial killer.
He is a danger to women, to quote another man. Mm-hmm.
So now he starts to confess to multiple sexual assaults over the years.
Meta.
He confesses to sexually assaulting people years before he married Brenda. So there's more that we just don't even know about. And so Kathy says, quote unquote, maybe I'm filled with the spirit of every woman he raped, every woman he killed, every child he abused. Maybe I'm filled with the spirit of all these people. And that makes me his worst nightmare.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Kathy.
Kathy, queen.
I don't love all of the harassing that you did.
But you know what?
But you know what? I support women's rights and their wrongs. No, so.
Yeah. It got the Bowmans into the office. It got
them into the office. We're just going to thank that.
Yeah. So February of 2022,
okay,
he is sentenced to second degree murder, which Kathy's like, hello, it's first.
It's first degree.
It's literally first. The judge, he's like 60.
The judge is 60.
No, Dennis is 60. I'm like, the judge is like,
the judge 60. Is like 60.
Can you believe that? No, Dennis is like late 60s.
Okay.
This judge sentences him to 35 to 50 years.
Damn straight.
Honestly, not enough.
No.
Not even remotely enough.
Nope, not even remotely.
Also, you remember the deal that they made with Dennis of like, hey, if you talk, we'll keep you in Michigan. They go, yeah, you're going to go to Virginia.
Yes, psych.
And Brenda is like, well, now I can't go visit him. Whoops. Oh, darn. Sad for you. No one cares. I'm sorry. Rage.
Yeah.
Absolute rage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they put him in Virginia prison, mm-hmm. knowing full well that Brenda will not travel to go see him.
Ooh, the petty princess in me is so happy.
Yes. Yeah. So this is, I love this. So Christine, if you remember Christine, who is Kathleen's aunt.
Yes.
Christine talks about how her and Kathleen's flower were lilacs. Mm. And every spring, Christine's lilacs in her yard would bloom. When Dennis was sentenced in February, the lilacs bloomed.
Before it was time.
Which has never happened for that bush. Like, it only ever is like April, May.
Oh my gosh, that just...
I know, I'm like, I'm about to cry.
No, literally, I have to close my eyes. So sweet.
Like, just love can transcend anything.
Oh,
it's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh, the justice.
If we can find some good, that is it.
These lilacs blooming in February.
No, literally. Oh.
Why is that so sweet?
It really is.
Oh my God. Don't look at me. That is so sweet. This is like an emotional rollercoaster. So much anger and then filled with so much love at the end. Are you kidding me? That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, but what a horrific story.
I know. That's what I'm like. This is not a good one.
No, this is perfect. This is totally great. Are you kidding? Oh my gosh. But the lilacs.
Yeah. So sweet. I know. I love that so much.
Justice for Andrea Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy is a queen.
Yeah.
Brenda, you need some therapy.
Help.
Demon Dennis, rot in hell. Yeah. Like, lick rust.
That's nice of us to say. He deserves
Vanessa,
way worse.
I hope you wake up at some point.
Dang.
That's a good documentary.
No, seriously. It's nuts. Because seriously, you're like, oh, I know. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
No, the
yeah,
whole time I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel this way about this. Oh, no, I don't feel that way about that person. Oh, I feel, nope. Hard pass. There are red flags here that weren't told to me at the beginning. I was like, how selfless. How vicious.
Yeah.
Ew. Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. All the justice that came from this woman.
Literally.
Trusting
yeah.
her gut.
Yeah.
And sticking to her guns. Mm-hmm. Like, if that isn't the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She walked straight into that fire.
Yeah, she did. And I applaud you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Honestly, yeah, thank you. I want to give all these women a hug.
No, for real. Like, just, I want to give all women a hug.
Yeah, like, every...
Even Brenda, honestly. Like, I want to give Brenda a hug. Like,
I'll warm up to that one. I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
No, I want to give Brenda a hug because I feel like, to an extent, I can relate to not wanting to see somebody for who they are.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
So please tell me about Happy Topic.
I do, actually. I have some great benefits I want to share
okay,
with you.
Okay, okay. I'm so excited.
Okay. So let's move on to our benefits. Let's do it. Okay. So I have been listening to more podcasts lately. I go back and forth between like podcasts and music and all that stuff, but I've been listening to more podcasts. There is a podcast that I listen to called Love Life with Matthew Hussey.
Oh my gosh. I love Matthew Hussey.
I love Matthew Hussey. And he started as a dating coach. Yeah. Okay. But he has started to kind of transition his platform and his coaching business to the three loves in your life, and one of those loves is yourself. Okay. And I love this. We love this. We love Love Life with Matthew Hussey. He's just like great. Okay.
Yeah.
He has a podcast, and he recently had Mel Robbins on. Do you know who Mel Robbins is?
Yeah.
Okay. Mel Robbins, we love her. She's the author of the 5-second rule, who, like, if you're feeling in a moment of like freeze where you just count down from five and you just get up and go. At five.
Yeah.
She has a million other things that she has authored, and like, she's a really prominent thought leader in the like inspirational space. So he had her on, and they're friends. And she has a new book out called Let Them. And I've heard this before, and they kind of talk about this in the podcast episode where they talk about what the Let Them theory, as Mel Robbins has described it, how that compares to radical acceptance, which is like the previous version of Let Them, where it's like radical acceptance of a person is when you're being wronged or when somebody is doing something, you just have to accept it because there's nothing you can do. And the anger isn't helping anyone.
This is
except Kathy, right? Yeah. The anger that you feel towards another person, it's not affecting anyone other than yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
But Mel Robbins' Let Them theory, she has a whole other facet to it. And obviously this is affecting me right now as I'm going through some personal things of being worried about how this other person or how these other people think, act, and talk about me, right?
Yeah.
And that's been really difficult because I am a recovering people pleaser.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to like me. And I know that's not possible. Logically, I know that's not possible. Right. Emotionally, yeah. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And so this has been a good lesson and all that. But anyway, so in this podcast, she's talking through her Let Them theory. And the example that they bring up is like, you know, we're in the holiday season. We're not currently, but when they were recording this, they were in the holiday season. Let's say I have a client who is like, I have to tell my parents that I'm not coming home for the holidays, that I don't have it in me this year. Like, I want to spend it alone, or I want to spend it with my partner. I want to spend it elsewhere. But I can't tell them that I'm not coming because they're going to be so mad at me. Mm-hmm. And Mel Robbins, she's like, this is a perfect example because everyone can relate to this.
Yeah.
And so she applies the Let Them theories in two ways. One, she says, first of all, I want you to reframe that disappointment that people are feeling in you. Yes, they're going to be disappointed. But how lucky are you that these people love you enough to feel disappointed? Mm. Would you rather them feel like, thank God he's not coming home? Are you kidding? He's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Or would you rather them be like, oh, I'm disappointed they're not coming because I really love them and care them. So like, first of all, that's a testament to who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And you should be reframing that of like, I'm so lucky that they are disappointed that I'm not going to be there. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, obviously, then there's like, you know, let them feel that way. Mm-hmm. Those feelings that they have, like, that's their responsibility. Mm-hmm. You have to let them have those adult emotions.
Yeah.
You know, granted, everybody in us has the 8-year-old inside. Right. Even Mel Robbins, she talks about like, she's not perfect at this either. Something happens and she has that 8-year-old inside of her that emotionally reacts big and bold.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to like regulate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, they're allowed to have their 8-year-old reactions of, you know, not in a demeaning way, but like they're allowed to have the 8-year-old inside of them feel the things that they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're allowed to do whatever you hope that they're going to do it in a respectful way. And they're not going to like lash out at you. But even if they do, let them. The difference between her let them theory and radical acceptance is there's a second part to hers. And that is now let me. Ooh. And you choose how you react to that. Yeah. So you can let them be disappointed in you. You can let them have those reactions and you can let them react however they choose to react, whether that is irrationally or whether that is like in an emotionally regulated state. But then you get to choose how let me react in this way. So setting boundaries with somebody, let's say they have a negative reaction. Okay, I'm going to let them have the negative reaction. Now I'm going to let me choose to set a boundary with that person. I'm going to let me remember this reaction for future mm-hmm. and know that I can't operate in that way with this person.
Yeah.
So it's a way to not only like, because the thing for me with like radical acceptance when it comes to emotional regulation has always been, I need that control.
Oh, right. Of how they're
going to react. Yeah. But also like the idea of just letting somebody and being like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, mm-hmm. I have all this energy now.
Right.
I just have to sit here and let them and watch them react this way. But I love her idea because it then gives me, for or people like me, right, if you're like me, it gives me that power back because mm-hmm. then I have all this energy that I want to do something with mm-hmm. and I can't control them.
Right.
Like, I'm not stupid enough to think that I can control them.
Yeah.
But allows me to redirect not only my thought of like, I'm lucky that they're disappointed in me, I'm lucky that I affected their life in this way, but also allows me to redirect that energy into, I can control me, of like reframing that, because yeah. like, I know I can control me, but it clicked in my head in such a way that I was like, this is massive for me. So it's like, I can't control what people are going to do or say, but I can control how I choose to operate around them and I can control my reactions. And yes, I'm going to have the big 8-year-old reaction mm-hmm. and that's going to be hard, but I don't have to act upon that 8-year-old reaction. I can have the reaction.
Right.
But then I respond in a way that I'm choosing to respond.
I love that.
So look up this episode with Matthew Hussey and Mel Robbins. It was great. I actually have listened to it a couple times. I'm probably going to listen to it again tomorrow just because it's so good. And there's very few times that I've listened to somebody on a podcast and been like, I'm going to buy their book. Wow. And I'm really like, oh, I'm going to buy her book. For sure I'm going to buy that because this seems like too perfect
wow.
for people like me that are recovering people pleasers and yeah. want people to like them and have lived their life in a way based on the people around them and how they think they want them to act and react and be. And you know what? Life's too short.
It really is. It really, so, really is.
The benefits today are let them.
I love
someone
that.
Saying something. Let them. That doesn't affect you. That's not you. And then I'm going to let me have my reaction, let it move through my body. And then set a boundary.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I love that. I love that. Love that.
Let them, baby.
Let them.
All right.
And then let me.
And then let me do a podcast about it, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I love that. Because, yeah, like setting boundaries with people is so difficult. If yeah. you have a strong relationship with them and you hadn't set boundaries. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're implementing boundaries. It can be really difficult. But like, mm-hmm. honestly, the reaction is everything you need to know
yep.
to those boundaries.
All you need to know, the people who benefited from you not having boundaries are the ones who are going to have the strongest reactions to you having boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
That is all you need to know.
But protect your peace. Yeah. Hold your boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We love it.
We love it.
I love it.
Yay!
All okay, right. Good. We ended up on a really high note. I love it.
Thank you so much for telling me about lilacs.
Yes. Oh my God. I know. So sweet. I love it. I'm just going to really hold on to that because that is the most beautiful
and thing. If that's not a benefit too, of like finding those little things yeah. in the nonsense of life that is like, this is a beautiful moment. I'm going to hold on to this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wait. So I don't know if I actually ever told you this, but when we were in Montana for Christmas, yeah. We went to some river. I can't remember what it was, like through the, what is that, National Glacier?
Wait. Oh, for Christmas? No, we didn't go. We didn't go to the glacier for Christmas. We went during the Halloween time.
Oh, maybe that was it. Yeah. So, but we went to like the river. Mm-hmm. I was literally thinking, like, in my head, because just I'm so in my head at this point. Like, because like October, I was just like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, with my life, with all of it, with all of it. What am I doing? Anyway, and then I was like in my head, just like, okay, you know what? If I'm on the right track, I'm gonna cry. Like, show me. Show me a dragonfly.
Stop. Are you kidding?
And then, like, we're, you know, getting ready to leave at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of, like, looking down, whatever. And then I see a dragonfly.
That's so much.
Oh, my gosh. On the ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Not a coincidence.
No.
Anyway, and yeah. I don't know. It's just
those little glimmers. You have to hold on to those little things.
Yeah.
Like, they have triggers in your life and you have glimmers in your life. Yeah. And we need to hold on to the glimmers in, yeah, our life. And those moments when the universe aligns and shows you those signs,
yeah,
the lilacs blooming, mm-hmm, the dragonflies on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to hold on to those moments.
You have to, because it's just not a coincidence.
Nope, it's not.
And like, yeah, the lilacs blooming in February, mm-hmm, and it's never happened. Mm-mm. Like, you can't tell me that wasn't divine intervention.
No,
you know, 100%. Like, anyway, I love that. It just, if we learn anything, mm-hmm, just love can transcend through any type of energy, any type, mm-hmm, of time or existence, mm-hmm, you know, it will just prevail through all of it. And I love that. Anyway, we're going to stick with that note.
Let them and find the glimmers, baby.
Yes. Love it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. Thank you.
That was so fun.
It was fun.
I was like, I was really excited to tell you about this. And then as I'm reading it, I'm like, this is really sad. I'm like, you shouldn't do this one. But no, you know what?
This is, other girls have podcasts where that's all they talk about.
That's so true.
So we're good.
Yeah. But you know what? We have some other movies that are just like ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
And they're so funny.
And we're ready for it.
And I'm so excited to tell you about these other movies.
I'm excited.
It's so stupid.
I know. I started my next one and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
It's even better when it's a bad movie.
Yep.
Because you're just like, that doesn't even make sense.
So great. I love it.
What? Anyway, okay. Well, thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure that you like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.
Do it.
Please do.
Peer pressure.
Tell them to listen. They better listen.
Okay. We'll give you a hug. How about that?
Okay. Love it. All right. Take care.
Okay. Love you guys.
Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's online, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.